Warning, what you're about to hear is true and may be disturbing for some audiences.
Actually, it started with my kids. The kids were waking up in the middle of the night saying that they felt that somebody was over them. They were hearing singing.
You're about to explore another world, another universe, with the likes of ghosts, Bigfoot, and UFO.
They were standing up there doing an investigation, and they saw a phantom fire appear, growing green and yellow.
You are tuned to the dirt.
When they walked towards it, it went out, and it just disappeared. And they heard what sounded like an Indian saying, "Eotosh, Eotosh," which in Algonquin language means stand and fight.
You are tuned to the dirt.
So we pulled down this road, and we got down into a little bit of a clearing. And about that time, we heard this loud green howl type sound. The thing was sitting there, it was huge. You could see it kind of, it almost like it was dancing back and forth and had its arms waving. My stepmother looked at me and said, "That's Bigfoot."
And now, here comes your diva of the dark, Lori Schultz.
Hi, everybody. You're listening to The Dirt. And tonight, we have a very special guest, James Horton. He's a movie producer, and he just got done basically creating a horror flick that's supposed to get back to the scary in horror. So we're going to find out how he made this movie so much different than all the rest, and we're going to look forward to interviewing him and his wife. But before that, I want to introduce my co-host, which I'm sure you're all familiar with her, is Bina Thorson.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you so much for being here. And, of course, I've got Zachary Teague back behind there. And also Ken, of course, the man with getting us online and streaming and everything else. So thanks, you guys, for setting me up. And I really love the new intro. And before we get going on anything else, I just want to say happy birthday to my son. He would have been 24 today, and so today has been kind of a tough day, so if you see me being kind of scattered, this is why, but it'll be okay. And I hope everybody enjoyed Mike the Wine Guy. He's got a great show, and it's The Good Life, and we all agree that, you know, wine does add to the good life.
Yeah.
That's for sure. We love it. And tonight, you can stay tuned for Bob Day's show. And that's The Great American Story. And after that, Zach's show, Zach and Brian show. I have like a frog in my throat. So anyway, so we're going to be looking forward to a great interview today.
Yes.
And then I believe Bonnie Sorber is going to be calling at the end of the show. She's got a great healthy vegan recipe. And Zach, I know he's going to be so excited about this because he's so into healthy foods. And he's back there rubbing his stomach. He's not on the mic, but that's cool. But we know what he thinks anyway. He just doesn't really get into the healthy foods. But, you know. So anyway, today, when we get going, we're going to be asking him about some really cool experiences that they actually had while they were filming this movie. And
cool.
Me and Vina have been, like, totally reading up.
Mm-hmm.
And we're totally stoked about this horror film. But the thing is, they had some true paranormal experiences taking place behind the scenes due to a location that they actually were filming at. So I'm really excited about that. We're going to be back in a minute with James Horton. So everybody stay tuned for The Dirt and enjoy these new intros and all this stuff going on. All right, everybody take care and stay tuned.
Get interactive with Lori by contacting her blog at lorischultz.blogspot.com. Lori and her guests are waiting to hear from you. Give them a call at 742-5555. Once again, that's 742-5555. Now back to the show that explores the outer limits of humanity. Here's Lori and The Dirt.
Hi, everybody. You're listening to The Dirt. I'm so excited to be here tonight. It's a very special day. And not only that, but I have a very best friend here with me. And so it always makes my show a lot of fun, Bina Thorson. And Zach, thank you so much for being here with us tonight. I'm really excited about the new time, like my clock here. It sounds great. I've got new music. And these guys have been working hard all week. And the segments are set up different, so I just want to give a special thanks to Zach and Ken. I'm just totally loving this. So
it sounds wonderful.
I love it. Yeah, it's more of a reflection of The Dirt. And I know Zach sitting back there smiling, he loves it. So We have our very special guests, James Horton and Clarissa Horton. I believe they're on the phone with me right now. Are you there?
Yes, we are.
Hi. Thank you so much for joining me on The Dirt today.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, this is going to be so much fun. I'm just in awe over all the things that I've read. You sent over some bios and different things, so I'm pretty much up to speed. But I'm excited for you guys to basically fill the listeners in on this new film that's going to be released in this summer. Am I correct on that?
Well, probably more like this fall.
This fall? Okay, close. So there's a little bit of a cliffhanger. They got to wait an extra month there. But it'll be great. It sounds so interesting and so much fun. But first of all, I would like you guys to introduce yourselves. Maybe start with you, James.
My name is James Horton, and I live in Pahrump, Nevada, which is just about an hour outside of Las Vegas. And I'm the producer, director, and writer of the movie that you've been referring to, which is called Do Not Disturb.
Awesome. And also your wife?
My name is Clarissa Horton, and I've been in the back scenes, helping with everything I can and getting a lot of paranormal experiences to boot.
Well, what do they say? Behind every successful man, there's
there
a good
go.
Woman?
Absolutely.
That's right. You know, I mean, everything he does, he needs all that side support from you. And so, it sounds like you guys have been working as a really great team. And how long have you been working on Do Not Disturb, if I might as well just ask that first?
We started shooting in Beatty, Nevada, February of last year.
Wow.
And we started casting fall of 2011. So
wow.
We've been working on this for a while.
Well, that's great. I mean, I'm excited because I was in agreement with a lot of the things that were basically written in some of your bios and stuff about some of the movies and different things out there. And I mean, I enjoy horror flicks, obviously. I mean, I like paranormal and all that stuff.
My favorite.
Yeah, my favorite, too. So I'm excited, for one, to see your movie. But I love horror flicks, but I'm with you when you're saying that most of them are not scary anymore.
No, they're not. They're just disgusting.
Yeah, some of them are just more like gore rather than, like, truly scaring somebody. So I don't want to just start right up with you guys talking about that in particular, but I am going to want to find out later on what you feel makes your movie different. But why don't we start a little bit more from the start? Before you started filming this, James, what did you do for a living? I mean, I know your background, but, I mean, I'd like you to share it. I mean, you've been in the film business for quite a while.
Well, what did I do for a living? Do I do for a living? For the most part, still the same thing, and it's one of the reasons it's taken so long to make this movie. Everybody has a day job, if you will.
Of course.
And even if we didn't, as you probably know, you can easily spend 2 to 3 months shooting a typical movie and another 3 to 6 months or longer in post-production and also several months on the front end in casting and location scouting and all the planning that goes into it. So it's a huge project, even if it's the only thing you're doing.
Yeah.
And I don't have that luxury at this point in time, and neither does any of the cast and crew. So I'm currently the general manager of a resort property in Pahrump.
Okay.
And how I ended up in that position, considering where I started back when I was in my teens, going on early 20s, I actually started out in the movie business, film and television, and I had produced and directed for HBO when I was 21 years old and tried to work my way up the movie business food chain and kind of got disenchanted along the way and somehow ended up in Las Vegas, went to hotel school, law school, and ended up managing a resort property. But what it did give me in the end was the comfort and the peace of mind to circle back and be able to engage in a project like this and have the time and the freedom and flexibility to be able to do it.
Well, sometimes we can see where we're going to end up and see the things that are going to be in our life, and sometimes even though we do take a different route for a while, usually wherever your passion or your interest is, you end up circling around, like you're saying, and ending up right where you're supposed to be and doing exactly what was always intended. I mean, I always feel like a person's destiny. I mean, you can wiggle around and go different routes, but you're right. going to end up where you're going to end up, you know. So if you're back into filming movies and everything, it's obviously what you're meant to do. Now, Vina here, she actually was a fan of one of the shows you did produce or you were involved in
the Real
HBO.
Sex. Real Sex on HBO. I used to watch that years ago. I was telling her in the car on the way over here. Like,
yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
That series premiered in 1990, if I remember correctly. And I don't know the official word, but I believe it was either the longest running or one of the longest running shows on HBO.
Doesn't it still come on once in a while? I think I've seen it recently.
Kind of like reruns mm-hmm. and stuff?
Older shows.
I don't believe they produced any new episodes, but I haven't really...
No, they're older. They're the older episodes. I think they just still run the same ones.
Like the reruns mm-hmm. of them. Mm-hmm. That's really cool. So, now, before this movie, and before we tell everybody, like, kind of what was going on while you were filming and everything, were both of you or either of you interested or had any specific beliefs in the paranormal?
Well, yes, a definite for me. I had a paranormal experience when I was 10 years old, maybe at my grandmother's house in rural New York. And this place was built in the late 1800s, and I saw a full figure apparition, and they walked by in front of me while we were sleeping and went out in the kitchen, and with the lights completely out, it sounded like it prepared an entire meal because
wow.
it was, I heard dishes and pots and pans and all these sounds. And then the sound stopped and it walked by in front of me again and I got a better look at it and I saw a full body figure walk right in front of me and then across the living room toward the wood stove and kind of up higher and was gone. And after that, it was a long, long time before I was willing to spend the night in that house. And I told my grandmother about it the next day and said, there's ghosts in this house. And she said, I know. He doesn't bother anybody. Well, it bothered me. I wasn't real comfortable at that age seeing something like that and didn't have any experience or education in what that meant and what it was and if that was good, bad, or otherwise. And it's always, I think it had an impact on me throughout the years.
I would think that it would, and that would be kind of traumatic when you're 10 years old to see something like that. And so obviously your grandmother, she saw the apparition or that ghost a lot, and she was comfortable with it. Did anybody else see it that night, or just you were the only one who woke up?
No, I was the only one with the good fortune of still being awake at that time.
That's so funny. Well, so what about you, Clarissa?
Just to correct you, the name is Carissa, C-H-A-R-I-S-S-A, Carissa.
Okay.
And no, I haven't really had any type of experience per se in my my youth or anything like that. I just started watching those paranormal shows probably a few years back and kind of got into it and watched a few here and there, and that's where it started.
Okay, and so did you believe, though, like when you were watching all those shows, or how did you feel about them when you were watching?
Pretty interesting. I thought that maybe I would want to try it someday because, you know, going through there and kind of seeing stuff, it kind of interests me a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But actually having the nerve to do it is another thing.
Yeah, it
is easier said than done. You know, when you go into somebody and you have the fear of the unknown, you don't know what's going to happen. You kind of got that, you know, that fear that something's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But you have that interest that you'd want to see something, you know, and...
And then when it does, it's like, what? Then all of a sudden your whole reality shifts.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yes, it did.
Yep. Okay, so now, we've got two full believers on the air with us.
Yes.
All right, so why don't we start talking about the movie itself? Well, let's talk about the movie, and then afterwards you can tell us what was going on behind the scenes and the nuts and bolts behind making the movie and everything else. But in filming the movie, you were saying how you were doing the casting and everything else. Now, based on your your paranormal beliefs and experiences. James, did it matter to you whether or not you had believers making this film? Does it add to any of the movie itself, or is just acting? I mean, did it affect who you chose on your cast?
Well, not really, no.
Okay.
The original plan for shooting the movie did not involve shooting in a location that was haunted, especially something that has the notoriety that the Amargosa Opera House and Hotel does. But we weren't able to get the first location we wanted. And by chance, maybe, maybe not, we saw the Ghost Adventures episode that was shot at that property.
Mm-hmm.
And we only live a half hour from there, whereas the original property would have been an hour and a half drive one way each time. So we went out there to look it over, and we were just fascinated beyond belief.
Mm-hmm.
It just fit all the criteria. It added a whole new dimension of the project in terms of, wow, you know, now we're actually going to shoot it at a haunted location. Is it going to mess with the camera batteries? Are we going to get pretty special
wow.
effects when if the ghost walk in front of the camera while it's rolling? Will any of the cast and crew actually disappear? So we kind of modified the approach going in. Once we did the casting, of course, they all knew what we were doing and where we were doing it. But we gave the entire cast and crew the opportunity to go out and do an overnight investigation at the hotel.
Oh, fun.
Oh, cool.
And with our paranormal consultants, Vegas Valley Paranormal, they set it all up, and we all went out there and spent the night. And it was their opportunity to live that experience, and it was their one and only opportunity to determine whether or not they could or could not fulfill the role in terms of the working environment, because not everybody could do it. You know, shooting in a controlled environment on a soundstage is one thing, but when you're shooting in a property that was built back in the 20s,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of it, especially the back end, has been in disrepair for decades, it adds an entirely different dimension to the logistics of shooting something like that. And when you start getting your hair pulled in the dark and start seeing
wow.
things, there's people that can do that and some that can't. So everybody had that chance. That was their one free card. They could walk away at that point if they didn't think they could do it, and if they were in, then they were obligated to keep going.
Oh, wow. Did you have anybody change their mind?
We did not. Apparently, we picked the right ones the first time. And oddly enough, and I hope he's listening because it's not the first time I've said it, our male lead, believe it or not, male,
mm-hmm.
as in not female, was the biggest chicken of the bunch
oh,
the
yeah.
entire time. He did everything he needed to do, did an excellent job, never had any hesitation or reservation about going into the areas we went into with lights off or very dim, and always gave it his best, but he will very much admit he was the biggest chicken of the bunch, including all of the females.
Oh,
God,
I think that is so funny.
And, of course, he plays the lead investigator of the paranormal group and the host of the TV show that they're out there at the property to shoot.
Okay, and see, I think that is so interesting.
Pretty much playing against type a little there. He's not Zach on Ghost Adventures at all.
That's so funny. Well, what I think is really interesting is that you're filming a movie about investigators, and
mm-hmm.
then it ends up in a place where it's been investigated and they had opportunity to investigate. It's almost like it would be like the shift between reality and,
mm-hmm.
you know, how a movie is fictional. You know what I mean? But, I mean, that's kind of a cool twist to add to your filmmaking.
Well, the other aspect of that was that it was character research for them. Most of them didn't know anything about the paranormal, and most, you know, all of them had no experience whatsoever with hands-on paranormal investigating, being in that environment, the equipment, the terminology, the methodology to all of that. So a lot of that had to happen anyway so they
sure.
could get to know their characters. And we did another investigation at the Pioneer Saloon outside of Las Vegas going in the opposite direction. And this place is so old, it actually has liquor license number one for all of Clark County, which includes Las Vegas.
That is very
crazy.
How long
this place has been there. So we did a smaller version primarily just for the cast with Vegas Valley Paranormal so they could really better understand the process and the characters they were playing.
Okay. Well, that's really cool. Do you want to tell everybody a little bit about what this... Okay, we get that it's an investigation, but tell us kind of the plot of the movie. Like, you know, what the point of the movie is a little bit. I know you can't tell the ending. You already warned me about that.
It's about the male lead. It starts months back. He's the host of a popular network TV cooking show. And while he's covering a chili cook-off in rural Nevada, he actually has an experience with a ghost in the hotel. And between that and everything he's seen on TV with the increasing popularity of paranormal-type shows, he decides he's going to scrap the food show and make this huge, huge shift to paranormal investigating. So he brings in a seasoned investigator, and they start their new show. They get a call about a ghost that visits the Amargosa Hotel once a year, specific room, and apparently absolutely nobody will go in that room on that night. In fact, it even, when nobody's looking, it hangs up the Do Not Disturb sign.
Oh, cool.
Of course, him being a little impetuous as he is, decides that they are going to go out there, and even though the sign shows up, they do their best to make sure that they can see it and record it, but they miss that opportunity, and they go in the room, and absolutely nothing happens. So in short, they actually encounter a ghost that doesn't want to be disturbed, doesn't want to be on TV, and in the end, they were very much better off not going out there and
I think that sounds like a good plot, and it's interesting. It's a lot of the way people are these days with investigating. I mean, people just get a little taste of it in the real world, and, you know, not in the film, you know, not in the movie, but in the real world, people get a little taste of it, and I'm telling you, I mean, you guys know this, it gets really addictive.
Yes, it does.
Wanting to know.
Like cars. You do it once, and you want to keep doing it.
Yes.
Yeah, so, I mean, okay, filming this movie, does this make you... want to do more of these types of films? I mean, are we going to see more of this from you?
Well, we hope. That's the plan. We're doing absolutely everything we can to produce a film that fulfills its goals, that it's fun, it's interesting, it's a scary movie that's actually scary, marketable in every way, and we hope it does reasonably well financially and creates that opportunity for us.
Well, I'm excited about it. So where is it going to be released? Like all theaters, or what kind of a release is this?
Well, we didn't shoot on film. We shot on HD video, which isn't completely uncommon anymore. But the primary plan is for DVD and Netflix and cable and satellite TV stations. It wasn't really designed for a theatrical release, which is a whole different world in filmed entertainment. And if we're fortunate enough to find a distributor that's willing to invest that kind of time and money and believe that they can make a play out of it in a theatrical run, then absolutely we'll do it.
Well, I think that's going to be great. Most people watch Netflix. I mean, when I go pick a movie and stuff, I'm probably super old school with it. I take my laptop and hook it up to my TV, and then I watch all the Netflix movies on there and everything. I mean, most people are kind of going that route, wouldn't you say?
Right, and what we're going to do on this movie for the Netflix release, you won't find it in your mailbox.
Uh-huh.
It'll look like one of those Do Not Disturb hangers, and you'll find it on your doorknob. It'll be very expensive, but it'll be quite a marketing campaign.
Yeah, that's going to be so much fun. So, okay, as far as movies go, that, you know, in your bio and everything that you were talking about, what do you think is your number one most scary movie you've ever seen, and then the number one least scary? I'm just curious. I mean, I don't know if this is a nice thing to do or not, but I'm just wondering, which movie scared you the most out of movies you've seen growing up?
Well, actually, I'm going to give the same answer that Scott Ian with Anthrax had done an interview on one of the SiriusXM stations a few months back. It was actually a movie that came out in 74, I think. It was called Race with the Devil. So in 74, I was 8 years old, and this movie just scared the, what's the word that rhymes? Scared me a lot.
Thank you for being careful with your words.
It scared me a lot, and it actually, it stuck with me for years, because it was a story about these people RVing, I think, in Virginia somewhere, and it was right around the time frame that I actually lived in Virginia, so that didn't help. And they encountered some devil worshippers, and they got away, but every place they went, every town they went through to try to get away from these people, there were more and more of the
food. Oh, my gosh.
That movie for years and years and years was just ingrained in my psyche, especially when the lights were out.
Well, I wonder if they have that on Netflix. Now you've got me so intrigued that I have to watch it.
You could probably find it on YouTube.
Oh, yeah, that's true. So I'm going to totally look into that movie. So what about you, Carissa?
I've had this conversation more than a few times with some friends and family, and I'm going to give the same answer. I have yet to see a movie that has scared me. It doesn't bother me. I haven't been scared.
So not even this movie that scared your husband?
I don't know. They're going back there. You know, this one's going to be up there and scary, but, you know, I have yet to see anything that is really, with even the, blood and guts stuff or the suspense stuff. I haven't seen one that scared me yet.
Wow. I think James should start sitting on the other side of the couch and give her a little bit more scare factor. Maybe he's too protective over you. You're not feeling scared ever. So, well, no, that's interesting. What do you think about the movie that you guys just filmed? Do you think that there's a chance it might scare others?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. In every way, yes.
Really?
Absolutely.
Oh, I'm so excited. So I'm not sure how many minutes we have left. I'm not sure if I can ask you this question. Okay, yeah, I can. What do you think is the thing that makes your movie scary versus the ones that have been coming out? Like, what's your scare factor?
Well, we're not taking the approach that a lot of others take, especially lately. Lately, it's been computer-generated special effects.
Okay.
Not only does it dominate the horror movies, it dominates a lot of other movies as well. And I absolutely love what Hollywood's able to do at this point in terms of special effects compared to what we had available 20, 30 years ago. So I'm not saying it's not a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're looking at, you know, if you can picture somebody walking down a dark hallway and you've got this $80,000 special effects ghost, computer generated, that jumps out at you, looks great, but it's just not scary anymore.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's so true.
In terms of the blood and guts, until the Saw series came out, the blood and guts movies actually had been on break for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. They were very popular in the 80s starting with a lot of the Friday the 13th films out, and just constant slasher movies and throats being cut and heads being chopped off, and the zombie movies, the George Romero's type stuff. That seemed to go away for a long, long time, and there's still really not a lot of that type of stuff out there right now. And I'm not so sure that that's even scary anymore. What's really scary, like Chris had mentioned a little earlier, is actually the fear of the unknown.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, if you can picture that same person walking down that dark hallway and you hear a sound that you know does not belong in that space, and the character looks down that hallway and you see their point of view and you see a slight movement of a shadow at the end of that hallway, and that character knows that they're alone or the door moves slowly, mm-hmm. and they know there's nobody else there, then that leaves it up to the viewer to fill in the blank. Mm-hmm.
That's because our imagination typically is worse than reality. Like if somebody's like, I have something to tell you, the whole time you're just like, what is it? You know, I mean, the unknown is, I think that is true. That's the biggest scare factor. So we're going to be going to a break here in a minute. We got to pay some bills. When we come back, we're going to be talking about what went into making your film. So everybody stay tuned. We're going to have James and Carissa Horton back on the air with us on The Dirt. We'll be right back.
And now, here comes your diva of the dark. Here's Lori and the Dirt.
Hi, everybody. You're listening to The Dirt, and we're having a great conversation with James Horton and Carissa Horton, and they just got done filming Do Not Disturb, which is going to be out in the fall of 2013. We're very excited. James and Carissa, are you here with us?
Yes, we are.
We're still here. Thank you, Lori.
Oh, thank you, guys. Okay, so I am really excited to hear what was going on in reality behind the filming of your Do Not Disturb. I'm just so intrigued, and I know that one of the main reasons, well, besides the fact that she's your right-hand woman, she's on the air with us because she's the one who is experiencing most of everything going on. But do you guys want to kind of tell us what was happening and where, and tell us a little bit about the history of the place where you did the filming so that people... You know, not everybody has heard of haunted places. Not everybody looks into it. Mm-hmm. So maybe give us a little background on the place that you ended up filming and tell us what truly happened to you guys.
Well, if they're not familiar with the property, then they're probably really not interested because the hotel's been featured in several movies. It's been featured on Ghost Adventures, and it's called the Amargosa Opera House and Hotel. It's about halfway between Pahrump, Nevada and Death Valley National Park. It's actually right in Death Valley Junction, kind of your one last sign of civilization before you cross over into the national park. And it was built back in the 20s, and I apologize to anybody out there if I get any of the property information wrong.
Oh, that's okay.
But it was built as a place of accommodations for the mine workers back in Death Valley in the earlier part of the 19th century. The workers stayed there. The investors would come out. At one time, it was actually a small town with a couple hundred people, mostly the mining staff.
Okay.
So it's rich in the Old West history, and then the current owner, Marta Beckett, that came along in the 60s, and as the story goes, her car broke down out there, and she just fell in love with the place, and for the most part never left. And not only is she a talented and incredible stage performer with a Broadway history coming from New York, and she's also an incredibly talented painter, and she spent years and years hand-painting the interior walls of this property, including the Opera House, which he spent 6 years alone just painting the interior of the Opera House, which is featured in one of the big scenes in the movies. And all of the rooms have her paintings, all of the hallways, and a lot of the other
dining room,
a lot of the other buildings in the property.
So a lot of love went into this place.
So part of the... There's a lot of facilities there that aren't used anymore and haven't been for a long time, and it's still a functioning hotel. In fact, I was just there last night, and there's people staying there, a lot of visitors coming to and from Death Valley Park. But there's also the other two-thirds of the hotel property called Spooky Hollow that really hasn't been touched in decades, and it has the disrepair and the dust to prove it. Amargosa Opera House and Hotel, about an hour and a half outside of Las Vegas.
Sounds like a fun place to go, for sure. And it definitely sounds like a place that, you know, is film-worthy. That's for sure for you guys with what you're trying to do here. Perfect.
Absolutely.
Right.
So while you were there, okay, so now it had a history, obviously, of being haunted because, like you said, it was just recently on TV being investigated. And did they come up with any cool findings? I mean, what was it that intrigued you based on seeing it on that show?
Well, it hasn't been released yet, I don't believe, but the crew was out there for the TV series Dead Files just about a month and a half, 2 months back.
Okay.
I don't think they've cut that episode, but they, from what I've heard, they had some pretty interesting experiences out there, and they actually... I guess we'll have to hear those stories from them.
Okay. So, well, then I guess I'll just hear what was happening to you guys. So the first day you guys all get there was obviously the day you guys decided to let all the cast and crew stay in the place and experienced the ghost hunting themselves, and, you know, did anything happen that night, or was it kind of a peaceful night that night?
No, it started right away.
Oh, yeah.
the spirits there, they didn't know us yet. I think they know us now, so they don't. They've never really bothered us. They've never messed with the equipment or anything like that. But they like to let a lot of the people know that they're there. But, yeah, it started right there on the first night. Not,
yes,
not for myself, of course, but Carissa handles all that for me when it comes to actual paranormal contact.
That's so funny, too, because you were telling me that you were the one going, please, I want something to happen.
Yes, he was always wanting something to happen, and, you know, throughout this time, nothing would happen to it. It's always whenever I would go, it's almost every time I would go there, something happened.
Oh, my gosh.
And nothing, even if he goes back there at Spooky Hollow by himself, nothing will happen. But if I go back there, you know, things will be thrown. I see this, I see that,
wow.
I hear this, I hear that. He gets nothing.
Well, what happened the first night? Like, start kind of from the beginning. Like, what did you guys do? You just went in there, you rented one of the rooms that normally, or I mean, the rooms were rented that are normally rented out, or what happened?
Well, we didn't, it wasn't specific to any one room. We had a big dinner in the dining room, and we had Vegas Valley Paranormal orient everybody on what would be happening and what it meant and how it all worked and what the plans for the night were. And we split up the group at times. We went into the Opera House. We went into Spooky Hollow and some of the areas there. And we
the
also
house is in the back.
And we also, there's quite a few homes out there, too, that most of them haven't been touched in decades other than the one that Marta Beckett stays in and, as of right now, still resides in.
And so she just lets you pretty much have access so that she shut the place down for the night, kind of, or to the public?
Well, most of the Opera House isn't used at night, and Spooky Hollow is abandoned. Nobody uses that part of the property, and all of the houses in the back have been abandoned for decades also. So there's always rules to follow, especially when we're near Marta's house, to be quiet and not shine lights in her windows and that sort of thing. But she leaves most of the management decisions to her trusted staff, I think there were a few people there staying in the hotel, and you know, they were curious, of course, but there's been tons and tons of paranormal groups that have come through that property. I wouldn't be surprised if there was a group there every weekend and has been for a long time.
Wow, that's really cool. So what were some of the techniques that you guys were using for your investigating? Was it like using recorders, film, or how intense were you going in there?
Well, we did all of the above. We did EVP sessions, especially since that was in the storyline, and the actors really needed to understand that and know how to use the equipment. And we recorded video, and we did things with the ghost box and the flashlight when we were sitting on a stage in the Opera House, where we turned the flashlight on and off upon command at times.
That's really cool. Mm-hmm. So what were some of the EVPs that you received?
What did we get for EVPs that night?
Sure.
I don't know if we got any good EVPs first night,
nothing.
Because part of the issue, or at least we believe we learned along the way, is that a lot of times the big groups, you don't get the same kind of action, if you will, if it's just two, three, four people, especially when they don't know you. But we did have one experience in the Opera House where the light was going on and off, and the EMF meters were going absolutely crazy. And
wow.
It almost seemed like something was actually standing there on stage with us, which we found out afterwards really isn't that uncommon.
Right.
Wow, that's really cool. So we're actually going to be heading to another break. And when we come back, I want to find out, okay, so basically the first night was this investigative night. I mean, a little bit, but when we come back, we'll hear about what happened to you. Okay, Carissa?
All right.
Stay tuned for the dirt.
Lori and her guests are waiting to hear from you. Give them a call at 742-5555. That's 742-5555. Here's Lori and the Dirt.
Hi, everybody. You're listening to The Dirt, and we have James and Carissa Horton on the phone with us. And they are actually, they just got done filming Do Not Disturb. It's going to be out in the fall of 2013. This is going to be a horror flick that's going to finally scare us, and I cannot even wait. I'm going to be the first in line
Me
to watch
too.
Your movie.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Vina's going to be second.
Mm-hmm. We'll go together.
Okay, we'll watch it together.
You have to come out for the premiere.
Oh, yeah. That sounds like so much fun.
Gosh.
It would be great.
So what we're hoping to do with the premiere is actually do it right there at the Amargosa Hotel.
We're
going to be there.
Exciting. Hey, come out.
Depending on the time of year, we'll either do it inside the Opera House, which is a gorgeous facility.
We were just looking at pictures on the internet
during the break.
Beautiful.
Oh my gosh,
isn't that beautiful?
Oh my gosh,
she did every last bit of that.
Oh my gosh, that's like
amazing.
I cannot
believe that she did that. That is so gorgeous. And I didn't, for some reason, I pictured an opera house. I don't know why I pictured it like without chairs.
Yeah, that place looks really. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, but the, you know, those chairs, you can walk out of that opera house. You know, make sure all those chairs are put up, and you walk out, you're gone for 5 minutes, you walk back there, and like three or four of them are down.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it has happened many, many times. You have to, you know, when you're filming, you do, you know, one take, and you know, you're panning over here, and there's the chairs are, they're up, they're normal, and next time you go over there, they're down, you know, it's just...
Oh,
you have
wow.
to you keep a watch because the ghosts like to have a seat and watch.
We're so excited.
Yeah.
I want to see this. I want to go to that place, number one, and then to see your movie all at the same time. It
yes.
would be incredible.
Well, if it's warm enough, we'll do the premiere outside with a big inflatable screen.
Ooh. Oh, yeah.
Until it gets nice and dark. And, of course, it's very warm out there. It's usually about 10 to 15 degrees warmer than it is in Las Vegas. So at nighttime... Perfect to sit out there in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, and if you do it in the fall, most likely it will be.
You can see every star there is because there's no
see
anywhere nearby.
Oh, that would
be warm and comfortable and watch a scary movie. And not only a scary movie, but right where it was shot.
Yeah, that is going to be fun.
But if you survive that long, then we'll take you in the back and see if we can
scare the crap out of us.
Scare away for good.
Exactly. That sounds like a blast. So I know Carissa has some pretty cool stuff to share with us. Why don't you tell us the first time? Okay, so you guys are filming around in here. You did your paranormal research. So you guys have an idea. Okay, something really is going on here. Carissa, the first night when you guys had that paranormal investigation, were you completely sold on the idea that you were going to experience a bunch of paranormal stuff, or did it happen that night where you were sold on it?
I wasn't sold that things were going to happen. I was just kind of going with the flow, you know, enjoying it. You know, I was finally, you know, able to do something that I thought, you know, oh, my gosh, I wanted to do this. I'm scared to do it. But I, you know, opened myself up, and I made sure that, you know, James was in front of me. He had the video camera, and I was at his pocket. I was right in back of him, and, you know, if he moved, I moved, and, you know, that was it. But, you know, by the end of the night, I was kind of going on my own a little bit. And that was when I started, you know, staying away from him a little bit and kind of walking, you know, maybe a foot or two away from him is when the first thing happened. He was walking in back of me with a video camera, of course, and I got my hair pulled, and it wasn't just a...
Oh, my gosh.
And this was in the Craftsman house, in one of the houses in the back.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I thought he did it. I had turned around and, you know, was like, why did you just pull my hair? You know, and he had both hands on the video camera. He didn't. Turns out, you know, in that room, I actually had a conversation with what I believe was a 10-year-old girl.
Oh, that is so cool. cool.
I couldn't see her, although I was. We were talking. We James and I both had heard this, heard that. You know, noise coming from here. Every time we would ask a question, wouldn't see her. But you know, as we were turning to leave, and I'm saying, okay, we're going to leave and we're out of here, I kind of took my last look, and there she was, right in the corner, standing there looking at
you
me.
You saw her?
I did.
Okay, so
absolutely, I did.
You had, like, the ultimate paranormal experience. Like, people, it's like the grand prize to see a full-body apparition.
That was my first one out of, I believe, four.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh. And so you had four apparitions?
I believe it was four, yeah. Yeah, actually, it was four, and three of them were in that Craftsman house,
saved
and they
the
were three.
Three
different people.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. So James, at the end of this filming, you never did end up having an experience while you were there, did you?
And I still haven't. And I was there last night from 6:30 in the evening to 5 in the morning.
James.
In Spooky Hollow by myself, eating video all night. I'll be back out there again tonight. I teased them. At one point, I thought they had moved the camera because I got the camera rolling and walked away just to see if they would do anything. And I thought they had made the camera shake a little bit. When I looked at it on the laptop later, I didn't see the movement. And no, they just keep a safe distance from me, I guess.
Well, on that note, we're going to be going to our break again. So stay tuned with us. And we're taking the top of the hour break. So actually, it's going to be about 6 minutes. So if you guys have something to do, you need to freshen up a little bit. Stay tuned for the dirt. And I want to hear about the other three apparitions,
yes,
Carissa.
Absolutely.
All right. Everybody
closely.
Stay
tuned.
Look better
when you come back.
Sounds great. Okay.
Warning. What you're about to hear is true. And maybe disturbing for some audiences.
Actually, it started with my kids. The kids were waking up in the middle of the night saying that they felt that somebody was over them. They were hearing singing.
You're about to explore another world, another universe, with the likes of ghosts, Bigfoot, and UFOs.
They were standing up there doing an investigation, and they saw a phantom fire up here growing green and yellow.
You're tuned to the dirt.
When they walked towards it, it went out, and it just disappeared. And they heard what sounded like an Indian saying, Eotosh, Eotosh, which in Algonquin language means stand and fight.
You're tuned to the dirt.
So we pulled down this road, and we got down into a little bit of a clearing. And about that time, we heard this loud green howl pipes down. The thing was sitting there, it was huge. You could see it kind of, it almost like it was dancing back and forth and had its arms waving. My stepbrother looked at me and said, that's Bigfoot.
And now, here comes your diva of the dark, Lori Schultz.
Hi, everybody. You're listening to The Dirt. And we have been having a great time interviewing James Horton and Carissa Horton. And they actually just got done filming their movie that's going to be out in the fall of 2013 called Do Not Disturb. And it's actually going to be a horror flick that's going to scare the pants off of me and Vina. We can't wait because we're both, like, into horror flicks. And I love a good scary story. But before we actually get back to our interview, we're going to take just a couple minutes, and we're going to play my song, mine and my son's song, Somewhere Over the Rainbow. It's a song that when he was a little boy, he had a little wind-up radio, and I would wind it up, and I would just hold him in my lap and sing to him, and it remained our song for his entire life. Every single time it came on, if he was in the backseat, he'd reach up and put his hand on my shoulder. And so it means an awful lot to me. And happy birthday, Timothy Randall Schultz. We love you and we miss you. So, Zach, you ready to go back there? All right, with the song? Yeah? Oh, really? I just got done introing all the whole thing. So I don't know if you've got it or not, but I don't know. So Zach is, I'm not sure if he's working on that back there. Did you find the Somewhere Over the Rainbow? Okay, he's putting it on right now. So happy birthday, Timmy. We love and miss you. You are my sunshine.
Ooh, fresh like lemon drops, high above the chimney top, that's where you find me. Oh, somewhere over the rainbow, bluebirds fly, and the dream that you dare to, oh why can't I?
Happy birthday, Timmy. We love you so much. And so it's hard to have this day without you. And everybody stay tuned for the dirt. We'll be right back. I'm kind of choked up. Sorry.
We know he's right here.
And our guests are waiting to hear from you. Give them a call at 742-5555. Once again, that's 742-5555. Now back to the show that explores the outer limits of humanity. Here's Lori and the Dirt.
Hi, everybody. You're listening to The Dirt, and we are so excited. We're back on track. I've got Vina Thorsen here. I've got Zachary Teague, and we're on the second half of the hour interviewing our special guest, James Horton, and his wife, Carissa Horton, who just got done filming Do Not Disturb, and that is going to be out in the fall of 2013. And so we were excited because when we were coming back from this long break that these guys had, hopefully they're all refreshed and ready to give us some dirt on the three apparitions, the three next apparitions that Carissa saw.
We went to dinner.
Oh, man, I'm hungry.
I know, me too.
You couldn't have passed anything through the phone?
I can email it to you as an attachment.
Oh, there you go.
That's pretty clever, actually.
PDF file, portable drink and food.
I do have my smartphone here. Hopefully it's smart enough to, like, heat it up for me.
I know, huh?
It's a new kind of PDF.
Yeah, exactly. So the first one you saw, Carissa, you said was a little girl. And
yes.
You saw her.
And the second one was actually when we were doing, there was a group that was in, again, the Craftsman House.
Okay.
And there was a group doing, on the floor, they were kind of doing a pendulum time. And, you know, I was kind of away from that group a little bit, kind of standing. And they were in, like, this living room. And I was standing away from the group and kind of looking over to my left because I keep thinking I'm seeing something in, like, the dining room off that room. And I'm just thinking, oh, I'm just seeing stuff. But something keeps grabbing my attention, like it's trying to grab my attention. It wants to grab my attention. And so I keep looking over there. And, you know, again, I'm paying attention to what's going on in front of me. The when they were doing the pendulum and still, you know, something's going on again, you know. So I'll keep looking. And finally, I just, you know, made an outburst. I said, I could see you over there. And it kind of made it a showing, and it was my understanding there was a teenage boy there, and he made himself known. He knew that I saw him, and it almost saw that he had this striped green and white shirt on.
Wow.
And I actually have seen him in that house twice, and he made himself known to me the second time. I've seen him in there, and we did another pendulum time in there, you know, with a different group, and there he made himself known to me again.
I
let him know that I was there and that I did see him yet again.
I wonder if he thinks, like, the filming, okay, so here you guys are doing things like ghost hunting, I wonder if, like, the ghosts, they don't, maybe it's, like, real to them. They don't know you're in there just making a movie.
That's actually a good point, Lori. Right. When we did our, that first investigation for the cast and crew back in November 2011, Barry, who's the director of Vegas Valley Paranormal, he actually told everybody that exact concept. The ghosts don't know you're making a movie.
See, that's what I was thinking. You're in there, you're doing, you're following through and you're reenacting the exact things that people do when they're trying to, you know, find ghosts and have them appear and video things. I mean, why not? Why would the ghosts hold back?
You know, well, during both of these pendulum sessions, we were not filming. It was not part of the movie.
Oh, interesting.
The first, you know, I think the first one we had some of the cast and crew out there. The second one, we had a different group out there, so it didn't have anything to do with the movie. We were not there. We did not have a camera crew, anything out there. It was just people out there doing an investigation.
Oh, wow. So, okay, so what are the other apparitions?
So the third one in that house was very interesting. we, again, had a group out there, I believe it might have been one of the same groups. We had gone out to that craftsman house, and we were in, yet again, though the group, in that dining room, and I would stand same place every time in that living room so that I could see what's going on in the living room, but then be able to look to the left to see what's in that dining room, because I keep seeing that boy in that dining room, so I figured maybe I'll see something again. So at that time, there was Barry from VVP, Vegas Valley Paranormal, was in there, and he had a group in there. And I was minding my own business and, again, see something in the corner of the dining room. I would keep seeing it. It would kind of go away, and I would pay attention again to what's going on in front of us. Would go back, would go again. So finally, I figured, you know what? I'm going to face this thing. I am going to walk away from the group, and I am going to face this thing that is keeps, you know, drawing my attention on that day. So I actually walked into the, you know, left the group, walked into the dining room, and stood with my hands folded in front of me, in front of this thing. And I was, and nobody knew what I was doing. Nobody else, you know, I don't know if, because it was dark in there, you know, it's nighttime.
Yeah.
You can't see anything. There's no light. Nobody else saw me leap. So I go in there, and I'm kind of looking, and I'm going to say I'm looking face-to-face with something.
Oh, my gosh.
It was, and we stood there looking face-to-face at each other for probably a good about 15, 20 seconds, literally. Then out of nowhere, from the other room, Barry says, "Hey, Carissa, who is that standing in front of you?"
Wow.
As he said that, the thing left and went out this window that was in front of us.
Okay, so when you say thing, I'm suspecting that it wasn't showing itself as, like, that boy or whatever. Is
like
it what girl. Was it just an unclear apparition?
Yes. It very much was unclear. I couldn't really get a facial fix on it. But it was a black, it was almost like a shadowy figure.
That doesn't sound good.
Yeah.
Oh, it was like a black shadowy figure, and we were literally face to face. I mean, you know, there was inches between us, because I said, you know what, you keep showing yourself to me that day, I am going to face you down. And I walked across that room, and I faced it down. Nobody else saw me until, you know, Barry was like, who is that sitting in front of you? He thought there was another... You know, there was another person standing in front of me. He actually saw what was in front of me.
And you couldn't.
And right. And I couldn't, you know, all I saw was this black, like, shadowy figure.
And what did he say he was seeing? To him, it looked like a man, or?
Yeah, he said he saw something standing in front of me.
Oh, wow. That's so exciting. And you know what? I have to say, I can't believe how brave you are.
Oh, I, you know, at that point, you know, the little girl, I saw the little girl, you know, that was really cool. I actually talked to her about, you know, a game she used to play and told her to come hold my hand and all that kind of
stuff.
And the boy, you know, he was just kind of, I think he was just didn't know what was going on in the house, and he was kind of looking for, you know, what are all these people doing in my house and then all this stuff. But with that other one, you know, it was a little different. You know, it's with, for some reason, in that house brings a lot and draws a lot for me. I can even drive, even if we're not going to the hotel, we're going past, we're going to Death Valley or something. When we drive past, I have to look at that house.
Wow.
Because it has so much draw for me.
Hmm.
There's something about that house that intrigues me.
I think it's interesting that up until this point, you never really had any paranormal experience, and yet you seem the one that's the most sensitive you're in that situation.
Yeah, I kind of let myself go, and whatever's going to happen, and it just seems like, you know, maybe there's a draw to me. I don't know. You know, I don't know what it is. But
Barry, was he the one that was afraid?
No, Barry is the head of Vegas Valley Paranormal.
Okay, who is the one that was really afraid?
Ernell, he's the male lead.
Lead actor, right?
Yeah, the lead, but I didn't know his name. And so he actually, now did he get to see any of this or not?
No, I don't think he's really seen a whole lot. I know there has been times on set, you know, a time or two on set where, you know, they're in the middle of a take. And, you know, there's a child, you know, they hear a child singing or something was going on with the child singing. And, you know, after James said cut, all of a sudden we were like, everybody else hear that? So as professionals as they are, you know, they kept with the take and they kept with the scene and all that. And then I can, you know, cut. And who else heard that? Who else saw what was going on? Did everybody hear that? You know,
so
that happened a number of times.
Do you have any real paranormal activity going on within the film itself?
Meaning, did we capture anything while
that's going to be on the film.
Real or?
Yeah, like real. Like, did anything by incident maybe just happen to end up on there? Or
we were really hoping, Lori, we were hoping that something would walk by and...
Oh, yeah.
Because we only budgeted special effects for half of what we thought we needed because we thought we'd get the other half for free.
They just cut the videotape on me.
That never happened. Even the one scene she was describing where we all heard the little girl singing, it was so faint because it's a highly directional microphone. And I can't say that I've looked at every single second of everything we shot, but I've reviewed most of it, and I don't think we've picked up anything whatsoever. We did have a little fun with Ernell, the male lead. We were in between scenes doing a little thing with a lantern in Spooky Hollow where it started flickering spontaneously when we asked a question to the spirit that we thought was present. And it's an LED lantern. It never flickered before that.
Oh, wow.
And one of the guys present had asked a question such as, you know, if you want us to leave, make it flicker a lot. And the light just starts flickering like crazy. And Ernell said, oh, what did he say?
Yeah, Ernell had me by the hand, because, you know, he's a chicken. And he was attached to me pretty much, you know, the whole time we were out there.
I would have been attached to James.
Finally, it was the last question, and I said, if you want us to leave, please, you know, flicker the lantern. And it starts flickering big time. And Ernell says to me, that's all I need to know. And he me, and he started taking me to the door.
And we actually have a little video clip of that
video.
One of the crew members took on his iPhone or whatever.
Oh, how funny.
You see on the movie's Facebook page, which is facebook.com/DNDmovie.
Oh, okay.
If you click under videos or pictures, you can see just about all of the shoots at all the various locations at the hotel and some of the video stuff that we put up. There's another little video clip in there you'll find where we're doing a shoot in Spooky Hollow and something kept banging at the ceiling.
Oh, yeah.
And we actually got one of them on video where we're walking back to the end of the hallway and you hear this loud bang. You hear debris falling down and... Yeah, you see me with the camera kind of losing my orientation. The camera goes down the ground and mumbling some comments about what was that. And
yeah.
That sounds like it was so much fun.
Yeah. In the Pioneer Saloon, I got pushed off a bar stool there. And
oh, my goodness. Okay, so physical things. Now, you had your hair pulled. You got pushed off a bar stool. What else physically happened to you?
Physically?
Yeah, like touches.
I did get sick. I did. There was actually, we went out there to, you know, again, we went out there beginning to go look at the place. And they were giving us a tour of the place and going into each of the rooms, and I just happened to go into one of the rooms, which we didn't even know was notorious for being haunted, and I felt like I was extremely sick. Suddenly, very suddenly, to the point where I had to leave immediately, and I actually went outside and I was puking my guts out.
Oh my god!
And it was pretty extreme. A couple weeks later, James and I were actually watching the Ghost Adventures episode that they did at the Yamagosa Hotel, and just so happens that in the same room, which was room number 9, Zach had gone in there, and he got extremely sick, all of a sudden, coughing and hacking, and got so sick he had to leave that room.
Wow.
So even James said to me, you know, at that point, whatever got him got you.
I can't believe that. You are very sensitive.
I think I am. I think Barry has talked to me a little bit, and I think he said, you know, that I could be sensitive. Even, you know, being pushed off the bar stool, I can still feel that push on my back.
Yeah,
I mean, it wasn't a hard push, but it was a push, you know, getting me off of that bar stool. And I went, you know, about 3 or 4 or 5 steps in front of me, and Barry actually had saw me fall off that bar stool, you know, and he saw it. He, you know, grabbed one of his equipment and came out and tried to do, you know, EVP session or, you know, you're going to push her off. You're going to push her off. You push me. And James went in there and sat on the same bar stool and you know, he's saying, you know, push him. That's her husband. You go and push him. You know, all that kind of stuff. And later on, you know, as we're cleaning up and Barry's going through some EVP stuff, and I see him, you know, kind of sit back in his chair, and you know, he grabbed a couple people over, and apparently, when I got pushed, there was an EVP that said, what did it say? Prophecy.
And
some say it said prophecy, some said that is my seat.
Wow.
So, yeah.
I wonder why he would say prophecy.
Right. So, and, you know, some of them said, you know, it said prophecy. If it was prophecy, you know, some of them said maybe it sounded like this is my seat. You know, and this is the bar that, was it Clark Gable stayed at for his, what was it, 30 or 40 hours while waiting on his wife, who didn't know that she had just gone down in a plane crash.
Oh, wow.
This is the place that he was at.
Carol Lombard. When his plane crashed in the Spring Mountains. That's where he was sitting and waiting to find out what had happened to her.
So yeah. I wonder who it was that pushed you.
I don't know. But I can still feel that push on my back.
Okay, that is so interesting. So out of the entire group, how many people were in your crew at a given time, not including the paranormal investigative team that was working with you, but you guys, your crew for your movie?
We were typically 10 to 15 people.
10 to 15. So 10 to 15 people. Carissa, were you the main target, basically? I don't want to call it that, but I mean.
It seems so. And I've tried to wrap my head around wondering why. Because there were, you know, a number of people in all the cast and crew that actually wanted something to happen. They were like, oh, I wonder if something can happen. I want something to happen. And I wasn't going on, you know, the day-to-day wanting something to happen. It just did. It seemed like wherever I went, even when we took my parents back there in Spooky Hollow, my mother is not a believer. By no means. And when we went back there and we saw the full body apparition walking from across the room, both of us saw at the same time of who they called the boss.
Oh my gosh.
She saw it. I saw it. She is now a believer.
Of course. I mean, because when you experience it firsthand, it's undeniable. All of a sudden, you're just like reality shifts. End of story. Now you're forced to look at what is.
Mm-hmm. I've been wanting to see something of, you know, the boss or some kind of something back there, and I've never been able to. I, you know, I hear things. Mm-hmm. You can hear growling. I can hear talking. There's things being thrown or there's noises. But to see something back there, I haven't seen it until we took, and it was just, you know, myself and James, our daughter Madison, and my mother and my father. And we went back there, and, you know, the rest of them stayed still. My mother was kind of interested a little bit, and she came with me, and she was, and, you know, as we looked, and he was, and he, you saw the full body apparition of him walking across the room, and you actually watched his legs move.
Oh, wow.
And that she looked at me, I looked at her, and we both said, did you just see that?
Oh, my gosh.
It was absolutely incredible.
Which is right where I was by myself last night, 2, 3, 4 in the morning.
And
nobody
nothing.
Came up and said hi, nothing. And I'll be out in that house that she's been talking about late tonight by myself.
Maybe I should go there and sit in the corner. Maybe
that's what I was
going
to say. You need to bring in the bait.
Yeah, really.
The Carissa
bait.
Well,
I need to get my shot.
Well, the thing is, you know, they probably miss her now. See, they've got somebody who constantly sees them that they can actually communicate with in a way. So I'm sure she would be like a welcome... Oh, like a little welcome back party.
Yeah, like, you know, and that's the thing, too. I'm not scared. I'm not scared of them. You know, some people, you know, when they see something, you know, even some paranormal people out there, they go out and they do an investigation and they see something, they're like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, and they start freaking out. That's not me. I want to, you know, if I see something, I'm going to ask you questions. I'm going to be like, hey, man, how you doing? You know what I mean? I'm not going to be scared. I want to communicate with you. I'm not going to freak out and try to run, per se. I want to have a conversation with you. And I think that is the difference between, you know, who I am and, you know, other investigators who, you know, oh, my gosh, we got to need to run. There's something that's standing in front of us. Oh, my gosh. You know, that's I want to communicate with them, and I want to see them. And I think maybe they sense that. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I'm sure that they do, and since you are open to it, but sometimes even if a person is open to it, like James, there is something that I use you for an example, y'all. Thank you for that. But
I'm here.
There's something that, I don't know, that isn't open. You know what I mean? There's some sort of sensitivity level, like, or something. I don't know what it is, but, like, they always say, like, your third eye has to be open, or your this or that.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe for some reason yours is and his isn't, but apparently when you were staying close to him, I mean, maybe he is some sort of shield to it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? My dad, he went on a few investigations with us, and he claims that ghosts are afraid of him. He's like, I don't know. They don't show themselves to me. And I always crack up about that because it's true, though. You know what I mean?
They're not afraid of me. They just don't like the music I listen to.
Oh, that's what it is.
Is that what it is? Okay, that's pretty clever. The longer James says stuff and everything, you can see how clever he is.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to be going to a break here in just a moment. And I just want to, when we come back, if you guys will stay tuned with us through our next set of commercials, if you guys can come back, kind of promote everything you want to promote and say the things you want to say. And I also just want to give you guys a big dirt thank you for being here tonight and for taking the time to share about your experiences and your up-and-coming movie.
And a big from Nevada thank you to you.
Oh, you are very welcome. And I'm going to, you know, I have your email. So there's no way you're going to get away with that premiere without us because we'll promote
we're going.
It. We'll be there.
You're
we'll be totally promoting it. Can't even
I don't
wait.
Come back tonight.
All right, that sounds great. So
we can turn it all into a found footage movie.
Oh, that would be so much fun. Seriously, I'll be promoting. I can't wait. So everybody stay tuned for The Dirt. We'll be right back, and you'll hear more from James and Carissa.
Here comes your diva of the dark. Here's Lori and The Dirt.
Hi, everybody. You're listening to The Dirt, and I am so excited that we've had such a great time with James and Carissa Horton, the basically the producers, creators, I mean, everything, basically, on this movie, Do Not Disturb, which is going to be coming out in the fall of 2013. We are very excited to see it, and we are going to find out how you guys can basically look it up, keep track of it, find out when it's going to be coming out to Netflix and everything else, and just, you know. So, James, why don't you take it from here and just kind of promote it?
Thank you, Lori. We do have a website in the works. It's not finished and available yet, but we do have the Facebook page that we've used as the primary tool to keep everybody up to date with what we're doing, which is facebook.com/DND Movie. Which is short for Do Not Disturb, DND Movie. You can see photos from all the shoots at Amargosa Hotel and Beatty and every China Ranch date farm that we shot at a couple weeks ago for one of the end scenes, and some of the video clips, actual unedited shots from shooting, and some of the other behind-the-scenes ghost experiences we've had along the way.
Okay. And if anybody goes on there and likes your page, I believe that they will keep up to date. So if anybody is, if you can't find that page, actually go to the Dirt page, Dirt Heads, you know where that is, and follow it from there. They can click on the link and like it, and then, because I get your updates.
Yep, we need more likes. We're a little over 700. Our goal by the end of the week is 13 million. So we would appreciate it if everybody would do it.
Yeah, I would appreciate it too, you guys. Come on, everybody. We've got to support some new, fun, extremely scary horror flick that's going to come out, because we want these guys to be successful so that they make more great movies.
Yes. We do too. And just to recap on what we're making, not only is it a horror movie and a paranormal movie, we want a scary movie that's genuinely scary. And we haven't seen it in a long time. It's not a special effects movie. There's only a few computer-generated effects that are actually in the picture. It's not a gore movie. There's no blood and guts whatsoever. As a matter of fact, you don't even see anybody get killed. The characters just disappear for reasons unknown.
Nice.
And we want it to be the perfect date night movie, drive-in theater sort of movie, and something that'll kind of keep you up at night and have you... You'll be thinking about your toes if they're hanging over the edge of the bed, as Stephen King once had wrote years ago.
Yeah, and that's the kind of movie that sticks with you.
Yeah, exactly.
There's only been a few movies that I've ever seen like that literally scared me, and where I was just like, I don't feel all right about going to bed.
Well, that's
what
we're
trying to do. You're looking
over your
shoulder.
You want a scary movie that's actually scary, and... We've got interesting characters and interesting relationships with the characters. The man of experience that the lead character brings in to start up the paranormal group in the TV show, he actually believes he's allergic to ghosts. So we have a lot of interesting things going on that I think adds a lot of dimension to it that should really draw the viewer into the characters and the story. And it was all very much designed for a sequel. Can't mention the ending, but it's left with a lot of things hanging on the end. So if we get enough people to like us, enough people to watch us, and we deliver that, we give you a movie to watch that fulfills that promise, then we'll absolutely be making more. We've got tons and tons of stories. We've got more stories that came out of shooting this one than we will ever be able to make in several lifetimes.
Yeah, that's perfect. And you know what? It is like the true experience of paranormal. It is basically unending. You know what I mean? There's no ending to it. So, I mean, having a cliffhanger at the end of this movie is even still another realistic aspect of scary.
Right. And we wanted the paranormal aspect to be authentic in terms of how things are done and why they're done and also respectful to the paranormal community. And that's why we brought in, because we didn't have that experience ourselves, we brought in Vegas Valley Paranormal, which includes Scott Wolf, who lives up there in the Sacramento area, that actually hooked us up with you. He was part of the team in the beginning, and Mike and Janie and Ron and everybody else with Vegas Valley Paranormal. That was our commitment to them, that we weren't going to make the paranormal community look bad. We wanted to portray it authentically in the movie.
I know, and Scott and Anna Hill, so Scott Wolf and Anna Hill were actually guests on here. They're going to be back this next month, and they really are genuinely good people. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, really, you had a great group there leading the way and showing you guys how it's done, because their number one goal is to debunk anything that's not real and to actually, you know, focus on what mm-hmm. is. I mean, they're not there to make something happen that's not happening.
Right.
So, I mean, they're a really legit group. So
they are.
Yes, and we couldn't have done it without them.
Yeah, and it's so cool. And the thing that I really like about the film that you guys did and that's going to be coming out is that right now the craze, I mean, when you watch, you turn on the History Channel, you turn mm-hmm. on, you know, A&E or whatever, and you've got all these ghost hunting shows and everything else. I mean, a movie about ghost hunting is so
exactly.
cool, because I don't think there is one like
no,
that.
I don't think so.
There's a lot of movies out there. Most of them aren't done very well, but being in business, I have a marketing mind now that I didn't have when I started in movie making years ago and was always proposing projects that were a hard sell. This one was designed to be marketable in every way, and not only marketable, but marketable on an international level.
Nice.
One of our cast members was born and raised in Austria and Germany, and another one in Poland, and
oh, wow.
Hopefully we should be able to appeal not only to the U.S., but the world as a whole. And we think we have an interesting story and an interesting approach to telling that story.
Well, I am really excited
Me
for
too.
You guys. Congratulations on finalizing all the filming with that. And, of course, mm-hmm. I wish you guys the very best mm-hmm. With getting this film out there. We will feel honored to be there,
oh, yeah.
you know, and help you guys promote it. Anything and everything you guys would like to put onto the Dirt page to help promote your film, please do. I want to keep up with you guys and see how it's going.
Thank you.
It's going very well. We have kept our spirits up the entire way.
Literally. So, everybody, if you'd like to say your website one more time, and a big, the Dirt wants to thank you so much for being here tonight.
Facebook.com/DND Movie.
All right, you guys.
Please like us.
Yeah, please get on there and like them. And thank you, James Horton, and thank you, Carissa Horton, for being here tonight. Do Not Disturb, movie coming out in 2013. You guys, you have to see it. Get on their page on Facebook. Like it. Let's help support having a great horror
yeah,
film.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Lori and her guests are waiting to hear from you. Give them a call at 742-5555. That's 742-5555. Here's Lori and the Dirt.
Hi, everybody. You are listening to The Dirt, and we've had a great show today. I can't believe how excited I am to see that new movie. How about you, Vina?
I'm really excited.
Oh, my gosh.
And the premiere.
I know. So, again, we want to thank James and Carissa Horton for being on the show today and sharing all about their experiences. They had true paranormal experiences while filming their new film, Do Not Disturb, which is going to be out in the fall of 2013. It was a blast talking to them. I think we're going to be having Bonnie... Bonnie, she's here. Bonnie
yep.
Thorber on the line with us. She is going to be sharing her healthy recipe of the week. Hey, Bonnie, how's it going?
Good. Hi. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm looking forward to your recipe.
Okay. I'll get started right away because I know you only have a few minutes.
All right.
So today it's kale salad with pineapps and dried fruit.
Yeah.
And I know that salad is already raw, but the dressing on this is also raw, so that's what makes it an especially raw salad.
I mean, I love that
sounds
because
good.
Sometimes when you get those dressings, you've got, like, dairy and you've got mm-hmm. different things, so you've got this really good salad, and then you're like, what am I going to put on it?
Yeah.
So I'm super interested in your dressing.
Okay. Well, it's the whole salad in a whole nutshell as it own recipe. So I'll start. It's one bag of organic pre-washed kale chopped into bite-sized pieces, and juice of two large lemons, juice of one lime, and one teaspoon of sea salt or to taste. And then you mix all that up in a bowl, very carefully, and that helps wilt the kale a little bit, so it's not so tough.
Hard to do.
Kale's a little bit tough, so you mix it up a bit and let it wilt a little bit, about 5-10 minutes, depends on how soft that you want to get it. And then after that's been mixed really well, you're going to add 2 to 3 teaspoons of the Dole flakes, chopped up or cut into bite-sized pieces, or you can add 3 tablespoons of sea vegetables. And both of those things you can get online, or you can get them at a health food store. But it adds a nice kind of like a sea flavor. It sounds not so good, but it's really tasty and very good for you. And then you also add 2 large tomatoes chopped, 2 tablespoons of olive oil, 3/4 cup of pine nuts, and 1/4 cup of dried cherries, 1/2 cup of dried cranberries, and then fresh pepper ground.
Oh, my gosh.
So ground fresh pepper to taste.
And that is why Bonnie is so healthy. That is why she has the glowing, youthful skin, everybody. So, you know, pay attention. Because, you know what? You're going to be posting this on the Dirt page for us this week, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, because, I mean, that sounds like something that's right up my alley.
I would eat that.
Vina loves this kind of stuff. See, this is what I like. You know, a co-host is healthy. You know, she's awesome. Zach, on the other hand, although, you know, he's a fun person to have, you know, talking into the mic and stuff, he doesn't like health food enough. He's always making gag faces back there, acting like he's going to throw up, and this sounds delicious. I bet you we can even get it past Zach.
Really good.
Yeah, and you know,
you're not on, Zach. You're talking away. We can't hear you.
I'm a health freak.
all day today, Troy and I planted a bunch of fresh fruits and herbs and vegetables and stuff. And so I will be incorporating or making more recipes using fresh vegetables from your garden, which will be organic in themselves, which will be great.
I'm so excited because, you know what? This is my sister, and she doesn't live very far from me, and she has a huge garden, and so I can just envision what happened to me. Like, it wasn't too long ago, I was out there, and I left with this big bag of delicious vegetables, and
that's the best, though.
I know. I'm so lucky to have little Benita.
Well, thanks. Well, I'm lucky to have you, too, so we're both lucky, I guess.
It's just a big love fest going on, healthy food, healthy emotions. I mean, we're all hanging out here at the Dirt having a good, healthy night. And
good.
So I'm so glad. And so this salad, did you test it on the kids?
Yeah, they like it.
See?
Oh, good.
See, they passed the kid test. So basically, Zach would eat it.
Yeah, he should want to eat it.
I will give it a fair chance.
And it tastes good. And it's got the dry fruit in it, which is a natural sweetener.
Guess what, Bonnie?
Nature's candy.
Yeah. Guess what, Bonnie? We just got it. Zach is taping this show. And he just said on the air that he will try it. He said he's going to give this one a shot.
Really? Wow, that's great.
I know. I'm excited.
I can't wait to make it.
Our goal is actually, for some reason or another, to get Zach's approval. And, like, whenever he gets on there, because I'm looking across at him through the glass, and I see little faces he's making, you know. It's like that, does Mikey like it? You know, that commercial when we were younger for Life Cereal?
Yeah,
it's just like that. It's hilarious. Well, Bonnie, thank you so much for calling into the Dirt Team Dirter.
Oh, yeah. I'm happy to be a part of Team Dirt.
I know.
Yeah, I was invited as Team Dirt.
Exactly. It was the invite Team Dirt. I needed some healthy recipes. And I'm telling you what, I go shopping with Bonnie. Like, I won't, like, plug the places we shop, but I'm telling you what. We go there. She knows everything. Oh, no, it has this ingredient and that. I'm like, when did you have time to study this stuff? Well, how do you know? I'm like, she's definitely an asset to the healthy recipe department.
That's cool.
Thank you. That's
I actually do have a health concern.
It's good stuff, that's for sure. Oh, we're getting lots of new recipes created.
Okay, cool. Zach has a concern.
I do have a question. Recently, my wife came up lactose intolerant. Is there, like, alternate products that she can use with cooking other than milk, like maybe an almond milk or something like that?
Can you hear him?
No, I can't.
Okay. Okay. His wife is lactose intolerant. I can answer this question. However, you're my Dirt healthy recipe. Is there anything that she can use in place of dairy for cooking?
Yeah, she can use almond milk and coconut milk and soy milk, any of those.
Yeah, and soy milk isn't necessarily that healthy for men, so I would go with almond milk, wouldn't you?
And almond milk is my favorite, but I like coconut milk too. But coconut milk has more fat in it, so almond milk is a win-win, I think, for everyone.
I think so too.
Yeah, for sure, almond milk. And you can even make your own homemade almond milk, which I'm pretty sure you shared with us. Fasting the recipe of that anyway. And
well, maybe you can do like a little Zachary Teague edition of that make your own almond milk recipe on the dirt this week, if you have time. That would be great because you know what? If he's inquiring about something, we got to jump on it. We want to keep him on board with the healthy recipe stuff. And you know what, Zach? Every recipe that Bonnie brings to the dirt is all vegan and dairy free. We're against dairy, so don't worry. Anything that your wife will hear on here will be recipes that she can utilize. So, anyway, all right, well, Bonnie, thank you so much for calling into the dirt today, and I hope you guys have a good night, and I'll actually be seeing you in a little while.
Yeah, well, thanks for inviting me on and for allowing me to share. I love this stuff. It makes me happy, so.
I know you do. That's why you need, like, I don't know what we're going to do with you and all of your expertise in this department, but, I mean, I'm
you
trying.
You need a cookbook.
Yeah, make a cookbook.
I think one day on the dirt is good for now.
Bonnie, but you know the dirt is going to be writing a book. Just so all my listeners, all my listeners, yes, I am going to be writing a book. It's going to be a collection of all the guests and different stories I've heard on here. So we'll have a section for you with recipes.
Okay, super.
Yeah,
I can do that. I can do a section.
All right. Well,
great. I love you very much, and I hope you have a great night, and I will see you soon, and thank you again so much for inviting me on.
You're welcome. Thank you, too. Everybody.
Hi, Dina.
Hi.
Sorry.
You're such tricks. Okay, so everybody stay tuned for the dirt next week, and Bonnie will be calling in with another recipe. Look on my page. We're going to have her recipes on there. And I, for one, am excited because I'm sure Bonnie will make it. We have a lot of family gatherings. So I know
tomorrow.
I'm
going
to get it. Oh, Venus, she's making it tomorrow. All right. Well, coming up next is Bob Day and the great American story. And I can't wait to hear it. He has a great show. After that, we've got Zachary Teague with the Zach and Brian show at sports. These guys, I mean, they go all over the board with the sports, local sports and national, right? Everything. All right. Everybody stay tuned for the great American story, and we'll see you next week.